Elijah had told his servant, "Now say to her, 'You have gone to all this trouble for us. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak to the king or the commander of the army for you?'" She answered, "I live among my own people." Elijah said to Gehazi, "But what can we do for her?" He answered, "She has no son, and her husband is old." Then Elijah said to Gehazi, "Call her." When he called her, she stood in the doorway. Then Elijah said, "About this time next year, you will hold the son in your arms." The woman said, "No, master, man of God, don't lie to me, your servant." But the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son at that time the next year, just as Elijah had told her. This word is found in 2 Kings chapter 4. We see the story of a woman whose name does not appear in the Bible, but ended up being registered in the Bible because of an act of faith, of audacity, of a demonstration of firmness and strength, firmness in believing God's promises. How many promises has God given you, and yet we continue doubting? This woman's name does not appear. She was known as the Shunammite. And I want to place you somewhat in the context so you can understand this woman's story. There was a man named Elijah who was a prophet. Every day he passed by Shunem, a place, a road commonly used by him to arrive at a prophet's school, a place where he was equipping, training some prophets. This Shunammite woman was recognized in that city due to hers and her husband's position. They had money. Nevertheless, there was something missing at her household. When she saw the man of God passing by, she invites him to have a meal at her house. Elijah accepts her invitation, and each time he passed by that place, he stopped by at the woman's house to share a meal with her and her husband. However, she was not content with just inviting the man of God to eat, because she knew that the presence of God lived inside Elijah, and she wanted to honor him. So she spoke with her husband and told him, "It will be good if we build a room for him in the roof." So this person, this man of God, each time he passes by, could have a place where he could rest, where he could nap. With this, I want to teach you the importance of making your house a place for God to inhabit. I want to talk to you about 3 points. As I tell you this woman's story, I will be talking about these 3 points, which are particularly important and which will help you today, which will help you in your spiritual life, which will help you make correct decisions, and which will help you to live your life in a correct manner. Because in this life, discouragement can visit you. Moments of depression can visit you. Moments of crisis can visit you. But remember that everything is temporary. And if you remain in the Lord, even when at times you can feel down, you will not be defeated. The Lord picks you up with His powerful hand, because He's a Father that even in the darkest places and in the moments of major loneliness is there keeping you company. And always, always, the Father has a way out for those who love Him. He always has a way out for His children. He always has a way out for those who trust in him. This woman's purpose was not to receive something in exchange for what she was doing for Elijah. She knew he was a man of God, and therefore she wanted to build a room for him at her house. It is important that we understand that our house is not only a place to be with our family, it is a place to rest which God has given you. And it is important that in this resting place, God has a space. When I talk to you about your house, I talk to you about your household and about your personal life, because our life is like a house as well. In our heart, you have many rooms, and sadly, we give and open up our heart to people who really wouldn't take care of it. And I think it has happened to you again and again, right? I think the time has come for you to allow God to rule, for you to allow God to really have a place, but not just any place, but a place of privilege. This woman built a room, but not just anywhere. She built it on the roof, in the highest place. That's where she built the room where Elijah came to rest. Today, I want to give you my first tip, which is to make your house a place for God to inhabit. But not everything ends here. God honors those who honor him, and he doesn't leave anyone without a reward. Therefore, Elijah was a little restless, wanting to do a favor for this woman. He wanted to bless her life, not because she was feeding him, but also because she gave him a place to rest, a place to stay. So Elijah asked her if she wants him to put out a good word about her in front of the king or the captain of the Israeli army, so they would keep an eye on her. And she would say, "Prophet, I occupy a good place and people know me. Relax, I don't need any of that." Elijah talks to his servant Gehazi, and Gehazi says, "Well, I notice that she doesn't have any children, and her husband is old. So they are not going to have a successor. They are not going to have children." Elijah calls her, and he declares a word to her. "About this time next year, you will have a son." That woman, just like it happens to many of us, we hear a word from God and we bring it to our logic. We bring it to our mind. This same thing happened to this woman. When she receives Elijah's word, I think she received an emotional shock. She had already resigned herself to perhaps not have any children. She had resigned herself to live her life to the end like this. But God always arrives just in time. And although the norms of life are contrary, although the laws of nature are contrary, he always has a way out. Let me tell you right now that God your Father is supernatural. The laws of nature must obey God's power, and when God proclaims a word, that word comes to pass. That word is fulfilled. Therefore, it's important that we learn to receive God's word. It is important that we hold on to that word. It is important that we learn to hold on to that word and to change position when God gives us a word. You can be in a position of sadness, of pain, but when you receive God's word, it means that something is already being fulfilled. It's a reality. I'm not telling you that when God gives you a word, it will be a reality. It is a reality. When God speaks, it's because it's already done. God is not going to move your emotions and tell you something simply to give you false hope and lift you up just for a moment? When God tells you something, it's because He will fulfill it. One day, Jesus tells His disciples, "I am leaving. I am going back to the Father, but I'm going to prepare a place for you to live there." If it were not so, He wouldn't have said it. This means that whatever comes out of the Lord's mouth, His words are a reality. Are you understanding me right now? They are a reality. It's not something that is going to be fulfilled. It's something that is already done. She received the word, although perhaps there were struggles in her mind because she was observing what reality was showing her. But when God speaks, not even reality can be an obstacle. God told Abraham, "You are going to have a son in your old age." And his 99 years were not an impediment for him to have a child. Because when God decides to do something, nature must obey. So, I'm inviting you to remember what words the Lord has given you and to change your position each time you receive a word from God. Get up and change your position. Observe what God has for you. Your faith must be at 100%. You must be expectant, because otherwise you will not notice when that word becomes a reality and you will have to wait again. So that woman wrote down that word. I imagine that she wrote down that word and she was attentive. She ended up pregnant and the following year had a son. This was a great victory. But not everything ends here with this woman, because once her son grows up and becomes an adolescent, he was working with his father in the fields, and he gets an awfully bad headache. This boy was healthy, but from one moment to another, he started to feel sick. So his father sends him home to his mother so he could be with her. The boy arrives with this unbelievably bad headache. His mother receives him, embraces him. She sits with him in the living room, and in a few minutes, the boy dies. Imagine the impression of the boy in her arms, and there he dies. Any kind of questions could get to her head. Like, for example, "Lord, you gave me the promise. I was not asking you for a child, but you gave me one, and now you are taking him away? Please, don't dent my happiness." But the Bible doesn't tell nor comments what she thought. What it comments about is the act she engaged in. In that act, she remembered the room she had built in her place, the place she has set apart for God. That's why when God is in your house, everything will work out for good. So first, make of your house a place for God. Second, understand that if God is in your house, it doesn't mean that bad things are not going to happen. When I talk to you about bad things, I put this word on quotes. Because when God is in control, even what appears bad becomes part of God's plan to lift you up and to show how miracles will occur by means of His powerful hand. Either to tell you today, in the name of Jesus, that your illness today is not for death, is for God to glorify Himself. He has the last word and He has the control and the power, so something powerful happens in your life today. A few days ago, I was talking to someone who is going through difficult times. This person was telling me, "Pastor, there are days in which I can't get out of bed. There are times when it seems my faith is going to fade. There are times when I feel I have no strength and I feel the pain is too strong. And I told her, give thanks to God because, first, pain always reminds us that we are alive. In many things in life, if many things in life didn't hurt us, perhaps it would be because we are dead. But pain reminds us that there is life, that while there is life, there is hope. And pain reminds us how small, how fragile, and how weak we are without God in our life. The pain of daily situations is going to always remind us that we need God. The pain of daily situations is going to always remind us that we are weak and that without God, separated from God, we can do nothing. That it is His strength which works on our weakness and that it is Him who sustains us. You are on your feet today, approaching the middle of the year, not because you had wanted to. It's because God has sustained you. It's only because of His grace, because of His love and mercy. So, the fact that God is in your house, it doesn't mean that color pink things are going to happen all the time. I hope that you are understanding me. Trial visited this woman. The Bible talks about the bad day, about certain moments. There are processes that we have to go through, situations which often are going to present themselves, and it is there where we hold on to the promise to which God said that it already was. And that promise is not over when it's fulfilled. But He sustained us because God's word gives fruit, and this fruit is permanent. It's not gone when it's fulfilled. It remains there because heaven stands behind it all the way. That woman didn't say anything. She didn't start writing in social media. She didn't tell people. She didn't start screaming like a mad woman. She remembered the promise, and she remembered the place she had built for God in her house. So she went to that place and lay down the boy in the room where Elijah used to stay. She locked the room and didn't say anything to anyone, not even to her own husband, did she express what she was feeling. She simply kept quiet and went to Elijah. When her husband asked her, "What's going on? Why are you going to Elijah's?" She said to him, "Everything is fine." You know, when you are facing crisis, keep quiet. And third point, keep quiet and trust the Lord. There are three things that God demands from us: prayer, faith, and obedience. This woman cried out, have faith, listened to God's voice, was obedient. She kept quiet. When you are in despair, don't run, don't despair. Keep quiet and secretly call God. Because my dear friend, victories, the strongest battles are won secretly with God, in intimacy with God. This woman got a response. God resurrected her son because she trusted Him. I don't know what miracle you need today. I don't know what you need, what intervention from God you need. But if God is in your house and there is a difficult situation, get ready. Get ready. Be expectant. Because as difficult as the situation is, your God is bigger. and greatest wonders and wonders of the might of God you will see in the midst of everything. Father, I thank you for your word, for your faithfulness. Thank you because through this word, you strengthen us. You remind us, Lord, that if you live in our house, everything will work for good. That you are the owner of everything, and even if there is darkness, even if there are difficult moments, you have our way out, Lord. Because a word from you is sufficient to transform everything and make us walk in victory. Thank you, Lord, because I know that those who are receiving this word today will receive their miracle today from you, Lord. Lord, let this word activate the faith of many in the name of Jesus, and many will see your glory. Thank you, Lord. This is a translation of the devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He reminds you that God always arrives just in time.